Hey there, friends. Before we begin today's episode, I feel compelled to pause for just a moment. Yesterday, just a few short miles from our home here in Orem, Utah, tragedy struck with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Our hearts and our prayers are with his family and with all of those who were there. Some of those who were there are close to us personally, and we've seen the fear and the sorrow that this has stirred. In moments like this, when the world feels so dark and uncertain, we naturally wonder, as Deb's favorite hymn often cries out to us, where can I turn for peace? Where can peace be found? You know, last night, Deb and I gathered with hundreds of young people at an institute devotional. We have both Utah Valley University and BYU students in our institute, so you can imagine the confusion that they were carrying into that room, and yet they came. They came searching for what we are all searching for right now: direction, comfort, assurance, peace, the knowledge that their path is acceptable to God, and they came seeking answers. And the answer is always the same. It's Jesus Christ. Through him, fear can be replaced with faith. Through him, despair can be met with hope. Through him, sorrow can be softened into peace. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, applies his atonement into our lives in a very real and personal way. Because Jesus Christ has redeemed us through his blood, not only for eternity, but for this very moment, for tragedy, for grief, for questions that we cannot answer. And so while our hearts are heavy, we will not give in to fear. Our hope is steady. Because of him, light will rise again. Comfort is real. Peace is possible. And it's in that spirit of hope and with our eyes fixed on him that we begin today's episode. May God be with us all, is our prayer. Hey there, everybody. Welcome out to another episode of Redeemed Through His Blood. I'm Scott Durfee, joined, as always, by the beautiful Deborah Durfee. What's up, babe?
Hi. Hi, friends.
How are you? Scott.
You know what? I'm good. I'm good. Sitting in a really comfortable chair looking at you.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm actually comfortable and good.
Well, you're sweet. I'm sitting in a chair looking at you and a brand new painting that I have hanging above your head.
It's pretty beautiful.
It's pretty spectacular. I don't know how to describe it, but it's a picture of Jesus carrying his cross, and it has sunbeams coming from behind it, and it shows the weight of the struggle that he is by himself struggling with, carrying that cross. And it reminds me to keep in perspective the things that we talk about here.
Yeah.
And everything else, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
we all have a cross to carry.
It's yeah,
in a very small way.
Yeah, small to us. I mean, small compared to him.
Yeah,
but for us, sometimes they're not small.
Yeah,
sometimes they feel big, and I think that you know, our capacity obviously is not the same as his, and our royal birthright is even a little bit different than his, right?
Yep. And we have our own cross to bear, and we have our own Gethsemane.
Yeah,
we sing about it in primary.
I know, I love that song.
The little Gethsemane song. It's the kids' favorite song.
Yeah, primary program coming up, right?
Yes, we do.
So many people's favorite sacrament meeting.
Mine for sure, hands down.
Totally not mine.
Yeah, I love it.
I know you do.
Because they sing and speak doctrine, and you don't get more raw and truth than the primary program.
And as soon as I say that, now I sound like a big jerk, you know, like what's wrong with the kids and stuff like that. I mean, I love it, but it's just different for me than I know that it is.
Yeah,
for
you
so
like that boring doctrinal like stuff at Education Week that you have to have 7 degrees to understand what they're even talking about, because they use words that I have to Google. Is that what you're talking about?
That's not even close to what I'm talking about, Deb.
None of the primary kids. I think they speak my language.
Well, that's awesome.
And they don't use words that I have to Google.
Okay. Yeah, well. We have Institute beginning this week.
Well, we're doing our kickoff this week.
Yeah, well, it'll be the beginning, the Institute, yeah, with our kickoff this week. We're super excited about that. We begin a new semester. Fall semester is always my favorite.
It's because it's the biggest one.
Well, and because we have new faces. Yep. Not that we don't have new faces almost every semester, but in the fall, traditionally, that's when people go back to school, and that's
lots
when we'll have
kids.
Tons of freshmen and tons, yep, of transfers. And I am so excited to meet and get to know those souls that will be coming with us. Some of my greatest experiences in my life to date have been because of our experiences at Institute. And that's not, I'm not saying that just to say it. You know, I say that without fear of successful contradiction by anybody, because they just have been some of my most sacred and holy experiences have been the ones that I've had in Institute.
Well, we get taught by the Spirit. We learn and we grow and we study and then we testify, and then these kids teach us and testify to us.
Right.
And where one or more are gathered, and there are a lot gathered,
yeah,
there I am. And I'm telling you, the Spirit is incredibly strong. And those young adults blow my mind with their devotion.
Yeah.
Like, they are working in the temple. They are coming to Institute, and they don't have to be there. Like, they take time in, and even in summer semester, I was mind blown, because I was like, if I could be outside, I would.
Yeah.
I would not be finding myself in a church in a chair to listen to some spiritual thing. That is a dirty truth out of my mouth. But that is
some spiritual thing. I like how you categorize that.
I always tell them, I said, I take my hat off to you guys that you, yeah, make the effort to go seek and search for the Spirit.
Well, they understand. They understand.
What more than this old lady?
Because, you know, you said, when two or more gathered in my name, there I am also, or whatever.
Yes.
The way that he is there also is by way of his Spirit. And we know, and we'll get into this more and more as we go, especially when we start talking about instruments of grace and the role of the Holy Ghost in our healing from the fall and from sin and from everything else. When we get into that, we're going to learn or relearn, perhaps, or have the reconfirmation or a retestifier, if you will, that it is the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Spirit that administrates the blessings of Jesus Christ's atonement in our lives.
Yep. That's one thing I learned.
And so
in the
when
podcast and in Institute and teaching.
And when we feel a Spirit, then we know that in all ways, the atonement of Jesus Christ is at work in our life. He's healing us from all things that are by way of the fall, as long as we're aligning with that healing, right?
Yep.
Which includes sin, which can include depression and anxiety and fear and loss and all those other things that we've talked about. But those things are only really overcomable, or we can really only have that experience through the Spirit as we start to move into faith.
I just had a thought.
You did not.
Don't act surprised. So, you know, when you're younger and you're challenged with something, or you have a habit that you're trying to quit, and when you talk to a leader or something, they'll say, pray more fervently, read the scriptures more fervently. You know what? What they're really saying is, seek the Spirit.
Yeah.
Go do something that will invite the Spirit into your life. Mm. So when you're in a rough place, I mean, I know it's not the very first favorite place to go is to seek the Spirit.
Yeah.
But that's why they say that.
Yeah.
That's why we hear that.
Yeah.
It's like, do something that will invite the Spirit.
Well, and I know that I've been desperate enough to make those appeals. I think you probably have too, you know, to Heavenly Father in lacking faith. But, you know, maybe an analogy I can give is, and I think this will go right along with what we want to talk about. When I was really struggling, let me rephrase that, throughout my life, as I have struggled, because we all struggle
for
in
sure.
our life, right? And so throughout my life, as I have struggled, I have had a few people who I have been dependent on for spiritual, moral support or whatever, right? one of those being my dad, and another my mom. I've been able to go to them a lot, you know, for various things throughout my life, not just spiritual, but direction and education, for example, and various things like that. My grandpa Durfee, I've shared on the podcast in the past that through some of my darkest, deepest struggles and trials, I was able to go, if the light was on in his office, I was able to go there and just knock on the window and he'd come open the door for me. And sometimes we'd sit there and talk till midnight, one in the morning, sometimes later.
That's so cool.
But you know why I could do that? I had a relationship with him.
Yeah.
I knew him.
And you trusted him.
And I knew he could be trusted because mm-hmm. of the time that I had spent in developing that relationship with him.
That's sweet.
And there are a couple of others, you know. Those aren't the only ones, but, you know, for the sake of time. And they were two, three of the most important for sure. My mom and dad, my grandpa Durfee. My grandma Durfee was always there too, but she just wanted to love me. You know
That's
what I mean?
Shame.
That's like you. My grandma Durfee's like you. My grandpa Durfee was full of wisdom and advice. My grandma was probably the wisest one because her wisdom and advice came through hugs and kisses, you know.
That's a good save.
Yeah.
I'll be like your grandma Durfee. Well, I love her.
People say that you are. I'm still waiting for you to cook cookies like her, though. But
well, as soon as I retire, I'll cook.
Right. I'm just kidding. We had a really cool experience this weekend. We got to have some of our cousins over. It just reminded me, talking about Grandma and Grandpa, some of our Durfee cousins over. That was kind of a special experience. And
it was so awesome.
You know, this gets back to, and I can tie this right back to what we're talking about here, the importance of relationships.
And connections, yes,
and connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah, connection too. I mean, with no relationship, no connection, but a relationship's not enough. That relationship must contain connection in order for us to achieve what it is here that we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
But what a great, it was so cool, you know? Yeah. I, and not only that, I'm going to go on a little bit. So I'm going to go on a little bit of a
get ram.
Yeah, exactly.
Ramble.
Just a little bit. But some of these contain some miracles. I'm going to go back 2 weeks ago. When Brother Gurney stood up and said the prayer on Sunday, his wife has passed.
In the sacrament.
In sacrament meeting. Yeah. His wife had passed within the year, right, babe?
Oh, within the last month or two. A
couple months at the longest.
Yeah, it's super, super.
Such fresh. A sweet, sweet, nice, great man. I've had opportunity to serve with him in various capacities over the years. Currently serve with him on an activities committee right now. And I love this man to death. But when he prayed, he said the opening prayer on Sunday.
Yes, he did.
And he would be very embarrassed if he were to hear me share this. And I don't think he listens to the podcast. But he would be very embarrassed because I told him this later that day, and it embarrassed him. Actually, it wasn't later that day. It was a couple days later, and it embarrassed him. And he's just like, oh, I don't want any praise from men. I don't want any praise from men. But Deb, when he spoke, when he prayed on Sunday that day, so two Sundays ago, I felt like he was in heaven talking to Heavenly Father face to face in front of me.
Yeah, that was a sweet, heartfelt prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. He petitioned the Spirit to be with us. He prayed for those that weren't. He prayed for those that weren't feeling comfortable with us and so, so much more. But every bit of that, Deb, was straight from his spiritual heart.
Yeah.
And I was out on my motorcycle, shouldn't have been, but I was out on my motorcycle a couple of days after that. And I saw him out and I just pulled over and I told him, Bruce, you got to know how much I love you and what an impact you not only had on me, but I know you impacted the entire ward. So that set that Sunday, right? That was a miracle. We had a miracle on Saturday, a bit of a prodigal experience, and I'm not going to get into a ton of detail around it. I'm just going to say, parents, don't stop praying for your kids. Parents, don't stop going to the temple and listening to the covenant promises that are made available to us as we worship in the temple in behalf of our posterity. Because we got to have a bit of a prodigal son experience last Saturday. And what a beautiful, not everything's complete, not everything will be for a little bit of time. But you know what, Deb, the door opened.
Yeah, and it had been closed for a couple of years.
Been closed for almost three.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what a beautiful reunion and experience that was. So
well,
we had that.
I just
that.
Have to say this.
Yeah.
When President Nelson, and I'm not kidding you when I say this, when President Nelson said, seek and expect miracles.
Yeah, you took him in his word, huh?
I took that serious. I really did. I was like, okay, God, the prophet said this, and I am going to seek and expect miracles. And that's why I knew that day would come. I just didn't know when.
Unfortunately, I must admit, my faith hasn't been as strong. But I'm thankful for the miracle, maybe even more.
It was pretty tender.
Because of that, I don't know. But President Kim Nelson said what?
Seek and expect miracles.
Okay.
That was in one of his conference addresses. I have listened to so many conference talks, I could probably give
you one from the last
10 years. Because
I wake up every morning, our bathroom door in our bedroom's open, and Deb turns on a conference talk every morning.
I love it.
And sometimes I'll go sit out in the hot tub and try to listen to part of it, and sometimes I'll stay in, and sometimes I'll just bail. But that's awesome. So seek and expect miracles. And you know, I think that we've been seeing quite a few of those over the last couple of weeks, just
it's
in
been
our family.
Super tender.
In our own family, and even more that are maybe a little too sacred to get into and discuss deeply, but just the fact to know, and this is what it is to me, just the fact to know that Heavenly Father's aware of me, just to know that Heavenly Father loves His children enough to share His power with them. The priesthood, and the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of Christ's atonement, but specifically in this case, the priesthood. He has loves us enough to share His power with us so that we can bless each other through Him.
I definitely know that He knows our name.
Yeah.
I testify.
Yeah.
I know He knows our name. I know He knows our struggles. I know He knows what we're going through. And I know sometimes we don't think that we are worthy of Him or His love, because I have felt that too. But because of some of the experiences that I have lived, I today know without a doubt that He knows my name and He knows all of His children's name, and He loves and cherishes every one of them. And I try to look at people and think, God loves you and He cherishes you. That sweet experience that I had with Jessica when she was 3 years old without a veil, and her telling me about Heavenly Father was sad when I left. I guarantee He was sad when every single one of us left. I know He was, because we are all His. We are divinely His. And I know He was sad when we left His presence. I know that. I don't believe it. I know that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I know that,
well,
but I'm grateful.
And if that's the case, He wants us back. And if that's the case, He's provided a way for that to happen. But in the meantime, we got to struggle. We have a struggle. I don't mean we got to struggle.
Well,
like
in the next
we
little,
to, but we have a struggle ahead of us, right?
And the next little piece of that was the next sentence that came out of that little angel's mouth, straight from heaven, when she said, "I said, what else did Heavenly Father tell you?" And when she said, "Remember my son."
Right.
What a simple sentence. It sounds so simple, but do we remember Him?
Yeah.
And
not only that, but what does it even mean to remember Him?
Yeah. I mean, I always, at Institute, I always talk about when we leave the presence, we are dismembered. We are a part of Him. And when we come here, we are dismembered from Him. So when we remember, we are reconnecting, making that relationship, just like we said with family, connection, relationship. We are remembering that relationship into that wholeness and completion, which perfection equals wholeness.
Right.
So.
Or completion. Right. Yeah. Well, I'm just grateful for the priesthood, the power of the priesthood, grateful for a blessing that I was able to receive last night that has been able to relieve a lot of discomfort that I've been dealing with because of some shoulder problems that I've got to get fixed next week and all of that. But Deb, just to know the Heavenly Father's aware of me, and I love that you just said that a few minutes ago, that how important that is and why that's so important to you is that He knows you, right?
He knows all of us. I can't just call it mine.
When my friends laid their hands on my head last night, Jake said to me in the blessing, words to this effect. Your Heavenly Father wants you to know that He's aware of you, that He loves you, and He went on a little bit more. And when He said that, I've heard, and I've had this experience before too, and I've heard it from others, but it happened to me again last night. I received a witness that that's true. He does know me.
Yeah.
And He is aware of me. And you know, how often do we tell this to kids in institute, to our students in institute and our family and people in gospel doctrine and people in primary and all the other places that we have an opportunity to serve? How many times do we tell them, He's just not frustrated with us. He's not wringing His hands because of me. He knows me. He knows me better, obviously, than I do.
Yeah.
He knows the beginning from the end for me, and it's through my faith in Him and faith in His Son and faith in all that was done through His Son and faith in all that's made available because of His Son, including covenant relationship, which we'll get into at a later date. But because of all of those things, sweetheart, the trials, the tribulations, sounds so trite when you put them that way, trials and tribulations, but all the difficult, dark, ugly, yucky stuff that we deal with in life, there's opportunity for healing in that.
Yeah.
Only through our faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, and where God is all-knowing, He knows the end. I mean, I think that's the important part to hold on to is we're not there. We're here in this trial state of learning and being changed and allowing our hearts to be broken and open so God can change us. And not just change us, but maybe give us a new heart. And we've heard that numerous times.
Yeah, right?
So it's...
Received His image in your countenance.
Yeah.
You know, we change. We literally change.
Oh, yeah.
When we take upon us the name of Christ through His atonement and all that.
You know, sometimes people talk about past lives and different things like that. And I think in my life, I mean, in my almost 60 years of living, I feel like some of my previous years are past lives. I really do.
I'm not that
person.
I know.
And I tolerated and I accepted and I chose so many different things than I ever would today. And I'm grateful today.
See,
I'm not saying I've arrived. Believe me, I am not saying that.
You're pretty close. But
no.
You say you're pretty close and that's good enough for me. How's that?
That is not true. Delete that.
Hey, last week we talked about faith, like we're talking about tonight. We talked about one of my favorite scriptures, I think yours too. We talk about it a lot when we teach this topic in Institute especially, but is in Alma 32, right? We already broke it down where we talked about the seed and the swelling of the seed and then the enlarging and the enlightening and if it's delicious to our taste and we would know. But we wanted to follow up with, because we invited our listeners last week, 2 weeks ago when we recorded, we invited our listeners to come up with some practical examples of how those show up in real life. In other words, how do they show up? Do they show up like courage in a tough conversation? Does it show up like peace in grief? Does it show up like strength in recovery? Does it show up like hope in discouragement?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's important for us to just kind of recall what we went through on that, because I think that really helps us understand, babe, why faith is so important. It's really easy for us, I think, to get caught up in the mundane things, or maybe not mundane even, but the crazy things of life, and just be going along and not give a second thought to faith and just be reacting and acting like we are just reacting to the situations in our life.
Yeah.
You know, in the Doctrine and Covenants a couple weeks ago Gospel Doctrine, we talked about being acted or acting upon. And, you know, and I think it's when we have faith that's when we are able to take action rather than be acted upon.
Right.
And obviously, so many reasons why that would be important for us. And again, we just invite you, our listeners, to go back through that. If you haven't done that exercise, please do it. And if you did it and feel like maybe you could do it again with some benefit, please do it again. I mean, we're just here to, you know, be with you as we all grow together. So just
I
kind
need
of
to do that again too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just well, you know, take some personal inventory and where can I, you know, improve.
What if we went a little deeper this week, and instead of just talking about that, we talked about what is our faith in? What are we really planting our faith in? What or who?
I was having a conversation with my son today, and he was telling me about some of the challenges that he's, you know, facing, and he said, but let go and let God, right? And I said, you know, buddy, you got to remember that God is way bigger than any of your problems. And I think if I can continue to remember that when I have challenges coming at me, that I do have a God that is bigger than my challenges. I have a God that is bigger than my pain. I have a God that is bigger than my infirmities and my challenges, my frustrations. We're getting ready for a big event at work, and there's a lot of tension in my workplace, and I get triggered easy, especially by people that do dumb things. There's my judgment. And I literally need to remember that these are God's children. I need to have more charity. I have really been praying for this lately. I even say it when I go up four or six flights of stairs when I go to work, from the parking garage up to the floor. And I literally say this when I'm stepping on those stairs: charity, virtue, charity, virtue, charity, virtue. Because I really want it instilled in me. It's not working perfectly, but I'm still trying to instill charity and virtue at work. I mean, I think that's one of my, I mean, I can definitely do it in primary. I can do it in, you know, mostly in my home. But man, when I get out in that world, it's hard. It's hard to have.
But have you seen a difference?
Yeah, actually have. Yeah, okay. Because yeah. I don't let things affect me as much as they used to. Because I've been pleading for that. I've been really asking,
I know you have,
Heavenly Father, yeah, for help. Because it kind of consumes me sometimes.
Well, you're doing pretty remarkably with it. I was just wondering if you had any. Yeah, so that's pretty great. I need faith, because faith and fear cannot exist in the same person at the same time. And I am so fear-based and shame-driven that without faith, fear would literally run my life. I really believe that to a large degree. You know, I mean, I don't want to sound like myself. I'm putting myself down to the nth degree. I just know that some of the character defects I have in my life, that's kind of how it would be. Because if I didn't have a relationship with Heavenly Father and His Son and the Holy Ghost, and with somebody to have faith in, then of course I'd be filled with fear. That's what ran my life prior to becoming sober on October 26, 1998. And it took me some time after that to really begin to develop this walk with faith. And I'm still developing this walk with faith, right?
Yeah.
I know that, you know, one of our, I just know that there are so many different levels of faith. We talk about that. We have in the past. We're going to talk about more of those next week. We'll really get into some of the power of faith type of experiences. But you know, Deb, you asked me, why do I need faith? The real reason is because faith and fear can't reside in the same person. Fear is not of Heavenly Father. Fear has nothing to do with the Spirit. Fear has nothing to do with Jesus' influence in my life. Fear has only to do with the accuser. Maybe we could just real quick turn there too. Let's go to, I'm going to turn to it and I'll read it, but in Revelation chapter 12, this is why I need faith. And I think in large part, it might be a kind of an answer to why all of the human race, all of Heavenly Father's children, need faith at some level. So in Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to go to let's just start in verse 9. Of course, we're talking about the great dragon, who is the devil, was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay, stop. He deceiveth the whole world. So if faith is something the Heavenly Father wants us to have, he wants to deceive us, replace that with potentially fear, right?
For sure.
So deceiveth the whole world. That's not the point, though. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and the strength of the kingdom for of our God and the power of his Christ. I love that title of Jesus, the power of his Christ. I love that name. One of my favorite names of Jesus, the power of his Christ. And the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Okay, so what does he accuse us of? You should be afraid. You should be worried. You should have anxiety. You should compare yourself to others and through that feel different or inferior. You should look at your children and see how they're not living the gospel compared to other people's children in your family, in your neighborhood, in your ward, in your circle of life, and see yourself as a failure because you couldn't get them to get right.
Be resentful. Have judgment. Yeah.
All of that.
So many things.
And we all have opportunity to partake in the accusations of the accuser.
It's alive and healthy, for sure.
At least on a daily basis. And I know that I have an opportunity to partake in that multiple times a day.
Not good enough.
Should I choose? Yeah. Not good enough. How can I ever quit this addiction? Yeah. I have tried so many times. How could I ever overcome this? Why even try? Yeah. Why even try?
Too hard.
You know? Yeah.
Why get out of bed? I'm too depressed.
Right.
Why Why go out in public when I feel like I'm being judged and ridiculed because of who I am and what I am?
Why would I go to sacrament meeting when I'm smoking still?
Yeah.
You know? Why would I go to sacrament meeting when I'm still drinking? You know, why would I? And these are questions I could have asked myself back then.
For sure.
You know? And it keeps a lot of us away for fear.
Yeah.
For fear.
You know what that reminds me of is every time an angel appears, the first thing they always say is fear not. Every time they appear. That is the
first. Is that true? Every time?
Well,
seems like it, right?
I don't know.
You're
you could prove me wrong.
No, I'm not trying to. I just hadn't thought of that before.
But I remember, I mean, numerous times. I mean, when the angels, I mean, even when Christ was born and the angels came to the shepherds and said, their first thing was fear not.
Yeah.
When an angel, every time I remember hearing about an angel coming through the veil to us, the words are fear not.
No, they aren't. Hey, you better hide. He knows what you've been doing.
Exactly.
They're fear not.
It's like, get rid of the accuser belief system. Yeah. And let's go back into faith.
So how do we overcome the accuser? This is the point, right? And this is where by faith should and needs to be placed is in this process to help us overcome the accuser, the accusations that I'm not enough, the accusations that I've gone too far, and all of those other things. So this is in verse 11. And they, meaning we, because this was the pre-existence, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I find it interesting that even the atonement covered us
there
in the pre-existence.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Well, when we read about scriptures, they were hoping that the Savior would come and the atonement. I mean, think about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah.
I mean, they were praying for a Savior. They were all waiting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So they were. We're going to the past where they were going to the future.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and I'll read that again. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So they were willing to go to the wall for him. They were just willing to go all the way for him. They loved his life more than their own. And the way that we do that, Deb, is that we see that it was through his blood, that we overcame the accuser there. It's through his blood that we overcome the accuser here.
Always and remember him.
In all of his various forms.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. He purchased us with his blood.
Yeah.
Literally purchased us. We are his.
You know, one of the things that I've learned additionally in the rooms of recovery, well, one was what I just said, is that fear and faith can't exist in the same person at the same time. That's important for me to always remember that. I shared a story. I'm not going to get into it here, but I shared a story a couple of seasons ago about my sponsor. and how I was going through this inventory on anger with him. And after we got through with it, he told me, he says, Scott, you're not angry, you're fearful. And because fear was really dominating my whole life. And so, you know, I say that by way of invitation to those of us who feel like we are just dealing with some other emotion, anger, rage, whatever. Maybe take a look at it as from a vantage point of fear, through the lens of fear. Because if we are really seeing our life through the lens of fear, it's going to feel like those other things. And if we really are feeling fear, we know how to overcome fear through the blood of the Lamb.
Yeah.
And that's the answer to our problems, yeah. Right? I can think of so many times when in Alcoholics Anonymous, and you know, and I definitely was part of this, and I know you've had this experience with others that you've seen and worked with yourself, Deb. But so often, you know, we come in and so often, you know, we pull ourselves up by the bootstraps sort of people, and we're gonna conquer this problem, we're gonna take it on, you know, we'll be okay, we're gonna get positive attitude going, you know. And all of that. And then we just realize that without faith, fear and self-reliance just kind of dominate us. And fear and self-reliance, learning to just, I think that there's an important part of self-reliance. I think we need to learn to take care of ourselves.
Time and a place, for sure.
It's important.
For sure.
But not when it comes to this stuff. Our reliance when it comes to faith needs to be on Him 100% wholly.
And isn't that an interesting balancing act? Because there are things that we can control and things that we're in control of-ish.
Yeah.
The illusion of control. Like putting food in your mouth every day. Like going to the gym every day. Like getting up and going to work or getting out of bed every day. That's self-reliant.
Yeah.
Is what you're talking about. But in
when we carry self-reliance to the point where if it is to be, it's up to me, that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, where it's just up to me to fix me.
Right. And that's where we get tripped up, because we're carnal and devilish. We are here to fall down. We are here to be broken. We are here to need, yeah. not want,
yeah.
Yeah. need yeah. a Savior.
Yeah.
We are nothing without Him. Wayne Dyer, I used to listen to him years ago, and he said, you know, when we are born, we are literally born naked and vulnerable,
yeah.
with no thing, nothing. We come here on this planet and we learn things and we collect things. But when we exit this planet, we take no thing with us, nothing. So all these treasures that we feel like we are accumulating, don't you think there is a lot we can learn about the middle, like where we are now, about nothing, no thing, that dependency. Because if you can possess it, you can lose it. It's not ours anyways. Even my wedding ring right here is not really even mine. It stays on this planet. I mean, literally, my breath is His. And I remember when I processed that in my brain, thinking, wow, am I attached to things? Do I need to detach from the things that, because I can't take anything with me. No money, no antiques, no treasures, no special jewelry from great aunt, uncle, grandma, whatever. There has been a lot of times I have had to take like a really hard look at the attachment I have to things and learn a lot about my nothingness and my pure dependency on Him.
Your dependency on Him. You're talking about a relationship.
Yeah.
You're talking about your, when you say dependency on Him, you mean because of and through your relationship with Him, you have trust that you can depend on Him, that He will make the wrongs right in your life.
He has.
Yeah.
I'm not really good at always giving Him that, turning my will and my life over.
Sure.
But, you know, I've put it to a little bit of a test.
Yeah.
You know, I have had experiences in my life where I have had to, and I've shared it numerous times when I was 17 years old and had to make a really big decision.
Right.
That was a life. that I had to depend. I learned my dependency, that I was absolutely nothing, nothing without him.
I'm going to read you a quote. Tell me what you think of this. Okay. It is by knowing the character, perfections, and attributes of God that men are enabled to exercise faith in him unto life and salvation. I'll read it again. It is by knowing the character, perfections, and attributes of God that men are enabled to exercise faith in him unto life and unto salvation. What does that mean?
Well, I go back to that relationship that you had with your grandpa.
Yeah.
You knew him. You
this is life eternal,
him.
Right?
Yes.
That they might know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast
right.
sent.
Right. You spent time with him. You learned learned more about him.
Okay.
And you trusted him.
But in order to know him, I had to, you just said it, spend time with him.
Yep.
In order to know him, I had to have experiences with him wherein I was able to open up and feel like I was getting a positive experience. Does that make sense? Did
yes.
I say that weird or what?
No,
but,
no.
But that I was getting a positive experience or getting redirected in a way that was loving, kind, and sometimes a little bit stern, but it was nonetheless all part of Heavenly Father's plan for me. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And you know what? I think that's what, again, a conference talk that I recently listened to about. Make an appointment with the Lord. Live to it. Like, make sure that you show up. Make sure that you're there. Because he's always there for me. I'm the one that ditch out. So do I make an appointment? Do I make time for him every single day to commune with him, to connect with him, to remember him? Those are those sacred moments that I get to learn to trust, that I get to learn to, and the on the quote, by knowing the character, perfections, and attributes of God.
Yeah.
Knowing him.
You can't know them without, like you said, being with him, spending time
yeah.
with him.
Yeah.
Having a desire to be more like him.
And in today's world, it is hard.
Really hard.
To be still.
Because we have so much coming at us in this electronic world.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I get up at 5 in the morning to be still, and I still it's still a challenge for me. Yeah. Like, not everything's still at 5 a.m., just so y'all know.
Good to know. I think I'll keep sleeping then.
Yep. Just you're being still.
Knowing yep. who he is, who yep. he really is,
yep.
helps us trust who we are.
Yep.
And so when I say I am a child of God and he has sent me here, all of that, when I say that and I know him, I can trust that what I'm saying is true. And if I can trust what I'm saying is true in that case, then I can trust that my life will heal from whatever imperfections come its way.
Yeah. Do we trust wholly?
Yeah.
Literally wholly in him? I mean, I do to a certain degree, but I don't into a lot of degrees.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a challenge.
So, and then here's another saying that I think is important. Faith is not just in things getting better. You know, it's not that we just have faith that things are going to get better. What it is, it really is that we have faith in Jesus Christ himself, his love, his power, his willingness to act in our lives, whatever that may look at like for our own good. And you know, and I know because we both had experiences that weren't super comfortable, that by looking back at them with an eye of faith have been for our growth and good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think of, you know, when we talk about relationship, and I maybe we can just kind of end on this story unless you have something else to add when I'm done, Deb. But, you know, if we'll remember the children of Israel, you know, when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of captivity, and after the golden calf experience and the Ten Commandments experience, whatever, and then they had to live on manna, right? And then, you know, we know the faith that it required. They had to have faith that they could only pick up manna when it was, they couldn't store it except on the Sabbath, you know, and various things like that. But another thing that happened while they were there is there were flying serpents. And these flying serpents, if they would bite, it would be deadly. And many of the children of Israel, we read about this recanted also in the Book of Mormon, or recounted rather in the Book of Mormon as well, as they're telling the story there as well. But the Lord told Moses, create a brazen serpent and put it on a staff. And when somebody gets bit, just tell them to look at the staff. And if they look at the staff, they will be healed. Well, obviously, a little too simple, even for the children of Israel. You know, I think we live in a troubled time. You know, that would definitely probably be the case today as well. But I think to myself, if I was invited to do that and I was in that situation, would I look at that staff? Now, obviously, we know that that staff is a representation of Jesus Christ on the cross, and right. It's through him on the cross that we are all eventually healed of right. all things eventually, so long as we put our trust in him. But I think of how easy it was for them and how hard it was for them at the same time. Just that one ask, just look unto me.
Yeah.
You know, we read it all the time in Doctrine and Covenants 6, just look unto me in every thought.
Yeah.
Doubt not, fear not. Well, apparently looking unto him is the antidote for doubt and fear, but how easy is it to look unto him? I don't know. That's the children of Israel.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we sometimes struggle with those same things. And so maybe as part of, and you know, and I'm going to wrap my part of it here and I'll let you say whatever you need or want to say, Deb, when I conclude here. But, you know, maybe part of my invitation this week to all of us would just be to take a look at where maybe we are a little bit lacking. Where could we, with just a little tiny bit of effort on our own part, better align with his will for us, better align for his graces and mercies, better be aligned so that we can feel the power of his love at work in our lives all the time? So, you know, next week we'll continue more. We'll talk a lot more about faith. I think we'll be talking about that for a few more weeks, Deb. But this is so important because this is really, and I said it last week, but this is really when we talk about faith, this is really what creates the impetus behind our process and our progress in putting on Christ's atonement and through it healing from the things in our lives.
Yeah. And I think, again, making an appointment, you know, taking that sacred time for yourself to commune. And even if it's partaking of the sacrament on Sunday, it takes a practice for me to close my eyes and tune out to the noise that I'm hearing in the chapel, those precious children that are not always reverent. But it's so critical for all of us to come unto him in literally every thought, doubt not, fear not. So when we have doubt, when we have fear, what's the antidote? Come unto him. And I say this to the mirror in front of my face because this is my message. And I hope that you can get a message from this as well because it is so critical, yet so easy, yet so hard. Just like the children of Israel, just like you said, you know, it just look at the serpent.
Sometimes the difficulty is in the simplicity.
Amen. And it's like, you know, that's how we exercise faith is when we put forth that tiny little mustard seed effort.
Yeah.
And then just say, okay, God, you got this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's when we see God's handiwork and we see the miracles that he performs on a daily. I have tried to make a conscious effort. When I drive, the east is on my left-hand side when I drive to work. And the sun will come up over those big, huge mountains that I live by. And I keep thinking, is today the day you're coming? Can you just come from the east? Can you just come with that sunshine? And can you just, I love the mountains. I love the mornings. I love, but seeing that sunshine, every single day, okay, maybe not every, but very, very often, I turn my head and look to the east and just say, thank you, God, for this beautiful world. Can you please send your son? But I am ready for him to be here. I'm grateful to know that it is by coming to him in every thought that is my antidote.
Yeah. Yeah, in the world that we live in, there's plenty of opportunity for us to get distracted, for us to get discouraged, for us to feel the buffetings of the accuser in our lives, the enemy, and all of that. But with a little bit of effort on our part, with a little bit of trust and hope on our part, as we develop a relationship with him And as we developed trust in him through developing the relationship with him, then we will be administered by his Spirit the blessings and the atonement, the blessings and all of the wonderful things that come by way of his atonement in our lives.
Yeah, I agree. Know who we are and whose we are.
Okay, well, sweetheart, as we close today, I just want to remind everybody that no matter where we are, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what's going on in your life, you're welcome here, and we honestly hope you feel that way. We know that sometimes it's difficult to feel welcome where we talk about these types of things, but we hope you feel welcome here. We hope you know that Jesus isn't waiting for you to clean everything up before you come to him. He wants you now. He wants this version of you. He wants you now.
Yeah, he meets us in the middle of our mess. And I think when he comes, he's going to go to the dirtiest, messiest places. That's where his grace and his grace shines the brightest. So come as you are, broken, messy, hopeful, questioning, doubting, fearing. You're not alone.
Yeah. We'd love to stay connected with you as well. If you have thoughts or questions, or if you have any stories you'd like to share, or if you'd just like to check in with us once in a while, we have several that are doing that. We love your emails. We love to hear the encouraging stories. If you do have a question that you'd like us to pose on the podcast and it's in line with the stuff that we're talking about here, we're happy to do that. If it's outside of the scope of what we're talking about here, we're happy to give it a shot and do it privately. So we'll send those back to you. But you can email us at heredeemsus@gmail.com.
This episode touched your heart. We hope that you'll share it with someone you love and care about, a friend, a family member, anyone who could use a little bit more hope right now. Maybe some of the doubters, maybe some of those that are just really, some of us that are struggling that just needs to look unto him.
Well, next week, we're going to continue talking about faith again, as it is so important, really the catalyst behind making and having and seeing and experiencing all of this work for us in our lives. And so remember that, and remember there's always hope through him because you have been redeemed through his blood.
Thanks for being with us. And remember, there is always hope through him because you have been redeemed through his blood.
Thanks for being with us, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Love y'all.